doing?
I don't know, mate. That kid is
superstar in the making.
Like, the play's already gone. Just, please.
Just put your flag up.
Yeah, but what are you, mate?
I mean, I am a wanker.
You're listening to the Circling Rectangle Show, proudly brought to you by FanBabbleSports.com, covering the 21-22 A-League season. Well, 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 look what the cat has dragged in. Jamie Brown, here we are for Season 2 of the Circling Rectangle Show. How you going, mate?
I'm doing good. I'm excited for the new season. It is a long way away still, unfortunately. And
still a long way away. You know, just over a month and a half now.
Yeah, but we're even still not sure how it's going to go after that with this COVID and how everything's going to go. But hey, it's coming. The news is building. The excitement's building. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited. I'm pumped.
Very, very looking forward to it. Jamie Brown, how'd you, the new intro, mate? New intro to kick off the new season? Oh.
Loving it. I mean, that's why we have this sort of upbeat energy, you know? We got to match that intro.
We got to match the intro, but yes, look, Season 2 of the Circling Rectangle Show, where this year we'll be covering the 2021-2022 A-League season and everything related to it.
Yep.
Season currently start date is the 30th of October, I believe it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, as Jamie said, that could change drastically with the current climate of New South Wales because we can't stay away from each other.
Yeah. Yeah, we're doing
and
real good.
Me and Jamie are staying well away from each other.
Well away. I don't think I've seen you in person for 6 months.
Let's keep it that way.
So, it's been good. No one's complaining.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. But look, a lot has happened since the last show. Yeah, last show was only 2 weeks ago, which was the end of season one. And here we are at the start of season two. We'll jump straight into some hot topics. Because hot topics is all we've got. Because there's no results. Oh, hang on. There have been some results. We might get into that in a little bit, but because we'll just fucking throw the whole season into chaos after episode one. But Jamie Brown, hot topics, and I think the one we hinted to last show, but the one that was announced, the final commentary team for the first season of the A-League in 10 or Paramount Plus, and our boy is back.
Our boy is back, and we've already heard his beautiful voice, Simon Hill, back on the call team. Heard him during the Socceroos games. He's done, I think he did the FFA Cup last night as well. It's, I don't know what Fox Sports were thinking when they let him go. He is the voice of Australian football. Amazing to have him back. And I mean, it was the worst kept secret in all of the Australian football. We knew Simon Hill was going to return.
As soon as Fox Sports lost the rights and they went to Channel 10, Paramount Plus, CBS, the first thing that literally no one cared about that. The first thing everyone was worried about is, so is Simon Hill back?
Yeah, it was the first question. It was, so you're going to sign Simon Hill, right? At Paramount Plus, sign Simon Hill.
Who cares when the season starts? No one cares when the season starts. When is Simon Hill going to talk to me?
Are we going to have him commentating another A-League Grand Final? And the answer is yes. It's a pretty good team around him. I've got to say Andy Harper's there. So he's one of the guys I wanted to come over from Fox Sports. We're not going to have Adam Peacock, which is a shame, but, you know, he's
not going to have Mark Bosnich, which is a bigger shame.
Going to Stan Sport, yeah, but, you know, we have the main man.
It is a good lineup. So Simon Hill is obviously the lead commentator for Paramount Plus, which gets all of our fucking dicks erect.
Oh,
yeah. It's very exciting news. But he is also followed by, as Jamie said, Andy Harper, Mark Milligan straight out of retirement, straight into the commentary team, Bruce Gitte, Alex Brosk, who, look, as long as he's not biased, I'm kind of keen to listen to what he says. And then Georgia Yeomandale as well from the Western
Amazing.
Sydney Wanderers.
How good
she
is she?
She's a fantastic commentator. Yeah. She was part of the Olympic coverage as well. Yep. And I thought she did an outstanding job commentating not just the Matildas, but the Oliroos as well. Great insights into the women's game. And look, this is going to be a good season under a good team.
Yeah, I'm really excited. I was really stoked to see Mark Milligan get the job. He's well-spoken. He's got a great wealth of knowledge and experience. So, you know, despite what you might think of him as a player, playing for the Victory, he's going to be great. Yeomandale, stoked to get her into that booth. You know, I hadn't heard much of her commentary until she did the Olympics, and she was phenomenal. Her knowledge is great, not just with the women's side, but the men's side as well. So it's great to hear her. These are people that I'm going to start really angling to try and get to come on the show. Simon Hill, Mark Milligan, Yeomandale. Let's get them all on. Let's get them here.
Get them all on.
It's going to be good.
Put our names out there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Promote ourselves.
Yeah, it's all about us. Who cares about the A-League? This is us promoting us.
Yeah, it's been big.
But yeah, look, Channel 10 CBS, I should say, have come out firing. It looks like they will be putting a lot into this. They've got the rights to the AFC Champions League as well.
Awesome move.
That's massive to show on. I think if an Australian team is playing, I think they're trying to get, well, we're not playing, so there we go. But it will be on 10 Live or 10 Plus, whatever their streaming service is, as well as Paramount Plus. This is big news. This is big.
And despite the fact that we don't have any Australian teams in there, like you said, they still went out and got the rights because they know what the future is like. They're so invested in the future. It's really, really good to see. I was iffy when they first got the rights, but it was just, you know, excited to get away from Fox Sports. But I'm excited for the future, man. I think they're going to do a hell of a good job with the rights. I think they care about football and its growth.
The one thing I need them to start doing now is I need them to advertise. We're just over a month away, and I've seen more advertisements for, like, the shit, like, fucking The Masked Singer. I don't care about that. I care about football. Just show me some football. Get the fans excited. Get free-to-air television fans excited again. But, look, I'm excited for this. It's been they've as you said, they're looking for the future, and they're putting a lot of money into this as well. So this is a big investment, and it will pay off. No ifs or buts. This has to pay off.
Yeah. You need to start putting mad highlights, some of the crazy goals we've seen in the A-League in the past. I'm sick of seeing ads for Paramount Plus. I love iCarly. Great show. Good to see it's back. But you need to be putting those ads everywhere with A-League highlights. Get people buzzed up for it now. Over a month and a half away, get people in the mood. Get them swelling with excitement so that when the season launches, your fan base is there. It's huge already. They're doing great promos and stuff like that with the clubs through memberships to get the Paramount Plus subscription. They're putting games on free to air. It's great. It's positive. But let's get that advertising. Kick it into gear. Let's make it massive.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to. Another hot topic I think Jamie wanted to talk about. What was it? We literally had a 40-minute discussion before we recorded this, and I've already forgotten what you wanted to say. W League, that's the one.
Yes,
W League expansion. You did write a little blog about this on fanbubblesports.com, but just go give a little synopsis. I know Wellington Phoenix have launched their first W League team.
Yeah, so the plans for the W League is this season starting 21-22. It's going to have the Wellington Phoenix added to it, which is huge. Huge for football, for women in New Zealand and Australia. It grows the game, extends the season. The season after, we're going to see the introduction of the Central Coast Mariners, I think, bringing
and
a team
Western
in.
United,
and Western United. So, again, expands the season. The fact that Paramount Plus are okaying this straight away shows that they have an investment in the future of the women's game, not just the men's. It grows, expands the season, expands the final series. And they're now talking about expansion of the A-League itself. I think every A-League team should have a W-League team in this comp. It should be a requirement. Obviously, with MacArthur, new team, you can kind of understand why they don't right now. They're focused on getting the men's game going. But you could have the affiliate of going into Canberra and having Canberra play as your affiliate W-League team until
Canberra's where MacArthur should have been anyway. So
yeah, straight.
Just an inconvenience.
You put a green team in West Melbourne or West Victoria or whatever you want to call it, wherever their home is. They don't really have one, let's face it.
That, wasn't it Tasmania at one point? Who knows?
It would have been better than putting them in West Melbourne. But you have a green team in Canberra already called Canberra United. Their women's team is one of the most successful in W League history. They have an established fan base. It's a great state for football. But no, let's put a third one in Melbourne where no one cares and 990 people will show up to a home game. Like that seems like it made a lot of sense, but that was a different regime. Paramount Plus cares a little bit more. I'm hoping when they do expand the A-League, straight away, they go to Canberra. It's just a must. And, you know, I'd even be looking at Tasmania as the next team. But, you know, every A-League team should have a W-League team. It should be a prerequisite now. You want to talk about equality in sport. Granted, yeah, MacArthur, new team, focus on the men's. But you should be saying now when you get a license, you need to be able to support both a men's and a women's team.
Yeah, for an A-League license, you should be able to say, look, this is predominantly A-League, but within three seasons, we will have a W-League system set up. That should be a requirement because, yeah, the idea of this is they want to bring in club championships.
Yes.
And this could be exciting. Not for me because Sydney FC will win it.
Well, Melbourne Victory's... Oh, but their men's team, of course, yeah.
Yeah, their men's team is pretty hot garbage currently, but... See, new season under Tony Popovich could be interesting, but team, like a club championship... So everything counts from your men's team to your women's team. This could be amazing. The only thing I see in that is your budget's going to have to go up because you're going to have to stack one side or the other.
Or spread it out.
Or
evenly.
Both. Or Sydney. Both.
Yeah, if you're Sydney FC, you could do both.
We don't have a salary cap for some reason. Who knows? I don't know.
Michelle Heyman raised a good thing about it right now where you can't do it for next season because Canberra doesn't have an A-League team right now. That's where I opened up the idea that maybe they could be an affiliate of MacArthur. The talk of double headers would kind of suck for Canberra United in that way because they'd have to travel to Campbelltown to play a home game their fans will have to travel. It's not a massive trip, a little under 3 hours, I think, now, but it's a big hassle for a team who draws a really good crowd to Viking Park in Canberra to have to do that. I think maybe you just leave that sort of side. They don't have to worry about doubleheaders. Or MacArthur takes a few games down to Canberra just to sort of balance it out. You know, yeah. 3 games in Canberra every year. Rightfully, it's where they should be anyway. And then, you know, then Canberra United might be more open to coming up to Campbelltown to play their home games. But doubleheaders is a great idea. Brings bigger numbers to the crowds. Brings more kids to the crowds. I mean, it's just positive. Like, as I said in my blog, it just shows that Parramatta has an investment in the future of football. And I'm so excited, man. I can't wait for the season to start. Not just with the teams reloading. It's just, there's the air of excitement and change around Australian football, and I can't wait for it. Please don't extend it any longer.
Yeah, I know. It's COVID, go away. We want football to be back. But look, you did say teams changing. We've got a while before the A-League season starts, so we've got time to let some transfers settle down, which we will talk about, obviously, in a later date. Yep. But the biggest one I want to talk about right now is possibly the greatest bit of business in football I've ever seen. And I wrote a blog about the best transfer window of all time on fanbablesports.com. But this is... Yep. This is my highlight of the transfer window. Cam Devlin of Wellington Phoenix, who scored the wonder goal against the Wanderers last year. It was an absolute fantastic finish.
Yep.
Signing for the Newcastle Jets, and without even putting in a minute, has gone on to sign for Hearts in Scotland. And you wouldn't believe it, Newcastle Jets have cashed in on it.
It's the greatest bit of football business I've ever seen. Sign a player, immediately sell him to a club for a massive profit. Can't argue someone at Newcastle's finally got their head in the gear when it comes to managing a football team. They got a good coach there. And I think it's good for Cam going to Hearts. They made a massive deal of the signing as well. It wasn't like he was going there to be a lone player. They made a huge deal of his signing. And just great business for Australia. Another player going overseas. But this time we actually get to hear about what the transfer fee is, which was close to $500,000 Australian dollars. So decent it's money not, for Newcastle.
Which is good because it's something... Something that really irks me about the A-League currently is there's not a lot of, like, there's no money being splashed around.
No.
I mean, sometimes it can get a bit extreme, like the case in China in the Chinese Super League, the amount of money they're splashing around. But if there's a transfer in Australia, it is always off contract or for free.
Mm. I think there's a rule where they can't sign, like, pay another club in Australia for a player.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Football clubs are businesses.
You still have a cap.
And they are a product. Exploit.
Yeah.
Players are products, and that sounds terrible, but players are products and assets. If you want one of them, you have to pay for it.
Yeah, which isn't a negative, because a club like Newcastle has produced a lot of good players. Dimitri Pachados, they could have cashed in big time for him, but unfortunately they weren't allowed. Amazingly, somehow it worked where Hearts could pay for a player from Newcastle, but you need to just scrap that rule. There's still a salary cap, so you can't have Sydney FC or Perth going and spending all the money they have and buying everyone. Just, you know, allow... You know, a Newcastle to pay Adelaide for Jordan Elsie, or someone to pay Central Coast Mariners to bring in, say, Ruan Tongik. Like, why is it restricted amongst the league where you have to wait until they're off contract? If Sydney FC wants to sign, who's a Wanderers player that's good? I don't know.
None of them.
Daniel Margouche. They should be able to say, hey, here's $1 million. We want to take him on now. And then he should be able to say, great, I'd love to finally play at a big club and go to Sydney FC. So...
Your star, Jamie? Where's your star?
Are you kidding? Milos Ninkovic. Milos Ninkovic.
On your badge, champion, where's your star on your badge?
Oh, come on. This bloody... We have an Oceania Champions League, right? You will never get this. Maybe because
we don't want this.
I don't even think it's a thing anymore. But yeah, if it is, Auckland City are dominating it. But yeah, you know, I think...
Hey, you leave Auckland City alone. They're a fucking great club.
Better than the New Zealand Knights were at that same time too. So... I just think it needs to be the way that we're moving in football, some of the rules from when it first started. Yeah, it was good to maintain a balance and keep all teams as profitable as you can.
In the first few seasons of A-League.
You understand?
Yeah, there was a good stand. Like, there was, what, 4 different champions within the first, like, 6 years or something?
Yeah. We didn't get a double champion until I think it was Melbourne Victory, so.
Good balance.
Yep.
Now it's just dominated by 2 clubs.
Yeah, you need to open it so that, you know, a Newcastle side who is struggling financially can sell some players to actually make some money, and that might actually turn the club around.
Could you imagine if the Central Coast Mariners, who have a hotbed of talent up there, their youth system is probably one of the best in Australia.
Credit Nick
Could you imagine the amount of money they could make if they were allowed to sell those players once they became professionals?
I mean, look at the players that have come through. Bazanis, granted, he's back there now. Nick Merger back in the day. Mile Jedinak, Tommy Rogic. Now Alu Kuol, but I think they did cash in on that sale. They've got
Matt Ryan was there.
Matt Ryan was there as well, also, yep. Gianni Stensnes, who's now signed with Victory, he was there. Matt Millar, who went to Newcastle after leaving the Mariners, and now he's playing for St. Mirren, my guys, over in Scotland. They could probably be the richest club in the league just based off transfer fees, because they are, like you said, just a production factory of good young talent. Credit Nick Montgomery for doing that. And he's finally been rewarded with the top job.
Got the top job.
It's time to scrap some of these rules that were great at the start, but now just don't make sense.
Yep. Times have changed, so we need to move forward. Literally lost my train of thought, and we're just talking about something.
We did want to touch on... There was something else. League? Sorry, the rights deal, the transfer of Devlin, and then broadening onto that, the W League thing. I think we've covered all the topics that we wanted to cover.
I think we've covered all the topics.
To be honest, yeah.
But look, you did say the coverage, and look, there was some coverage recently that we spoke about on our last show in the last season, but it's happened over the 2 week break, and that was the coverage of the Socceroos on free to air TV, which means we got to watch some football, and here it is.
The results are in.
The first results of the season, and it's a big one. I wrote a blog about it on fanbabblesports.com. Our record rivaling Roos, our thumping victory over China 3-0 equaled the record of most consecutive games won in a single World Cup qualifying campaign, and then a hard-fought victory over Vietnam 1-0 in very, very tough conditions.
Oh, yeah.
We are now equaled the world record with the likes of, I think, Germany, Mexico, and... Spain. I believe it was. I don't know. I wrote the blog about it. I don't know.
Yeah, but South Korea's in there somewhere.
South Korea's in there for most consecutive games won in total.
But it was over two campaigns.
It was over two campaigns. Yeah, where Germany have 18 over like three campaigns. It's ridiculous.
Holy crap.
ridiculous. But look, we're now the first Asian country to do it. 10 consecutive wins in a single World Cup qualifying campaign. An absolutely outstanding achievement. And Ryan Grant scoring his first goal for the Socceroos to give us that victory after almost being the villain. Put your hand away, son.
Yeah, it was a questionable call about whether or not it was a handball. If they'd given it, I really couldn't have argued. But I'm glad they didn't.
I thought that was a great bit of refereeing and the perfect use of VAR.
Yeah, the right reason to use it. And, you know, getting the right result, even though it did take a bit while, but, you know, had they called it a handball, I really couldn't have complained.
It was one of those things where, okay, I can see it giving a handball. I don't like it because he's close, he's turned, like, it's just struck him. But on the other hand, I can say, well, he's had a shot on target and it's been denied by a hand. I can see it giving a penalty.
Yeah.
The referee came to the conclusion that there's no way he could have moved. He didn't put his arm out to stop it. His arm was there. He's turned his back. Doesn't know where the ball is.
Yep.
Goal kick.
Good call.
Or and corner, it was whatever it was.
Great to see the referee come back from the screen and just, you know, basically give the come on, let's play on. Nothing to see here. And yeah, up the other end, Adjan Hrustić, great cross. Ryan Grant.
I love that post. Man so much.
He's such a good player. He is a diamond in the rough that we have found. It's amazing. He's going to be so good.
How we have clawed him from the clutches of Croatia, I don't know. Because he would fit in that side. He would.
We're trying to do the same thing with an Italian, aren't we? Something Volpata.
Probably.
Wasn't wanted in the A-League, now plays for Roma, and now we're trying to steal him back to play for the Socceroos. Yeah. So.
Look, I would have liked Lyndon Dykes from Scotland too. But
would have been great, yep. Mitch Duke's doing the job, bud, up front for us, even though he's
absolutely.
Old.
Absolutely. Mitch Duke scoring a goal against China as well. He almost had one against Vietnam, but was called offside.
Yep.
Man, he's done wonders for the Socceroos. And the Olleroos, he was a good senior head for that team. But yeah, doing wonders in the J-League as well is Mitchell Duke.
He is. He's just a striker. He's a goal scorer. You know, he's a Zlatan Ibrahimovic. He's a Lukaku. He's a Harry Kane. He just scores goals. It's what he gets paid to do, and he does it well. So, you know, we have a bright future for the Socceroos moving forward, I think. Japan's lost to Oman 1-0. Sets it up so we're still top of the ladder. We play them in the next round and Oman, so it's going to be – could be pretty tough, but
– could be very tough.
We've set it up well, and, you know, Japan have shown that away from home, they're not that great in tough conditions. It's hard for them to perform to the level that they probably used to playing in Japan. You put them, if we play them in Vietnam, it's basically an even contest. Long grass, humid as shit temperates. I rate our chances against Japan. I think we'll go through top, which I wasn't thinking at the start.
No, the question is, though, will there be crowds? Will the game, first of all, be held in Australia? And two, will there be crowds?
I think they're talking about it, aren't they? Bringing it back to Brisbane or something? So
Maybe. I think we'll bring it back to the start of the A-League season. The one thing I think they were talking about was, yes, delaying the start of the A-League season until after the qualifying games here, where there will be crowds.
I would be okay with that. If we're not going to have crowds on October 30th, if we're going to have crowds on October 30th, why are we delaying it? But if it's to actually make it so that we start with crowds, and yeah, it'll be a busy first couple of weeks to squeeze those games in, but to have crowds, I'd be totally fine with that. I would accept an extension if you're listening, APL. The CNR show are on board.
Yeah, we are. We back your decisions. If there's crowds involved or the option to get crowds involved, we support it.
Yeah, because there's nothing better than watching the Premier League and hearing that snap of the fans when a goal goes in. So we need that back in Australia. And if it's if it's sacrificing 2 more weeks, I'm okay with it. I'm all for it. So I hope we have it on the 30th with fans, because we're all the targets that we're being told we need to set, we're getting there. So if you have to prove that you're double vaccinated to go to an A-League game, they're doing it in the States for NFL and college games, I'm totally fine with it as a fully vaccinated person. So
yes you are. But look, yep, that's the story so far. That's the show so far. Look, it's only a short one for the starter of season two. We will be back, I'd say, in another 2 weeks.
Yeah,
have a little bit of another break. We'll just go every 2 weeks until the season starts, until we have a confirmation of when we can have a regular schedule. But look, 2 weeks is enough for us now, because we don't want to be here every week to talk about the same things.
Yeah,
give it some time.
Not
stuff
a lot to
will
talk
happen
about. And I mean, we don't have. Eventually, you know, we'll have some kits. We can go through our best kits for the new season. We've seen Adelaide and the Central Coast Mariners have released some, but at the moment, we don't know. Like Victory haven't, Sydney haven't, Wanderers haven't. Let's let some more kits roll in before we start talking about new kits for the next year. But you know, at the moment, there's just not enough news to keep going weekly. You know, there's minor transfers.
Every 2 weeks,
so.
I'd say every Friday for the next 2 weeks, or not every Friday. Every second Friday, we will be dropping a new show for the Second Rectangle season two until. As I said, we get a regular schedule and we can drop weekly where you guys get to listen to our sultry sounds.
Yep. And, you know, we'll have a hell of a lot more content because, you know, you'll get all your favorite topics back. Results are in, hot topics, Jamie Spray will return. Oh my God, it's a screamer. You know, they're all going to be back. Well,
the thing is, though, if the coverage is so good, will Jamie have a spray this time? Because all of your sprays last year were about Fox Sports.
Hey, Chris Beath's still a referee, isn't he?
He's a good referee. You're just a wanker.
I mean,
you're a bad man.
Both things are true.
Very much so.
He's a bad ref and I'm a wanker. So,
yes, you are. Yes, you are indeed. Look, that's it. Season two is underway of the Circle and Rectangle Show. Thanks for sticking around. I know we're idiots, but you listen to us, so you're an idiot.
You love us.
You love to hear it. I'm going to call our fans idiots. You listen to us. There's a fucking fact.
Yeah,
for
I mean, you're obviously not intelligent people.
No, not at all.
Neither are we.
You know what we should do? Stop insulting our fan base.
No. They love it. They love the punishment. It's a kink for them.
That's disgusting. Goodbye. Thanks for tuning in for this week's episode of the Circle and Rectangle Show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. We love hearing from you guys, so please hit us up on our socials, The Circle and Rectangle Show on both Facebook and Instagram. Drop us an email, cnrshow@gmail.com or @cnrshow on both TikTok and Twitter. And don't forget to check out fanbabblesports.com for the latest blogs and podcasts.